welcome your ears to episode number 277 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, Austin FC rookie Daniel Pereira joins the program to preview this weekend's match against LA Galaxy. A Texas basketball player announces that he is leaving the program, and we recount a hilarious courtroom mishap that took place on the Zoom program. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great, brother. I appreciate the intro, as always. I do want to give a shout-out to the voice of the Longhorns, the voice, as he's known, as on the east side, Craig Way, because did win Sportscaster of the Year from the Austin Chronicle. There was never any doubt.
Did he really good?
There was never any doubt, but I'm just saying, giving a shout-out anyway to the man, the myth, the legend.
Good for him.
Craig Way.
No doubt.
There are many other awards that he's won, I'm sure, that are more prestigious, but just want to make sure.
Hey, Chronicle's big time. Come
on. It's big time. No, it is. But I'm just saying,
Craig. It's a local feel.
No, I love it. I'm just saying, Craig Way's big time, though.
So, agreed.
There you go. So just want to give some props to the man.
Absolutely. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I'm doing great. Good day, busy day, long day, and ready to do this.
Long day. Yeah, he's dressed up. He's looking good. Mm. He's had some adulting.
Yeah, there's some adulting going on
adulting
today.
Man, it sucks.
Yeah, not adultery. I'm not with anyone, but adulting.
Are those not the same thing?
No, that's why I thought you may be confused with that.
Oh, hey, you've participated in both?
No. No, not simultaneously.
I didn't mean simultaneously. I'm just talking about at one point or another.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I was always confused.
Not that I knew of.
That people hate saying how much they hate adulting. I'm like, no, adultery at least means you're getting it on with someone.
No.
What's the big deal?
Very different, but yeah, it sounds similar. Adulting and adultery, sometimes they're the same thing for some adults.
Exactly, unfortunately.
I'll be here as well. I am BK, Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Thursday afternoon with us. Gentlemen, plenty to get to. We will speak with Austin FC midfielder Daniel Pereira in about 25 minutes to recap the team's first four matches this season and also look ahead to this Saturday's match for Austin FC against LA Galaxy. So excited for that conversation coming your way at about 3:30 this afternoon. But gentlemen, we open up talking NFL schedule. The full 2021-2022 NFL regular season schedule was released last night. Now, yesterday morning, we got a little bit of a tease from the National Football League. They gave us the week one schedule, so we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Cowboys' season opening game, which will be the league's opening game. The Cowboys will take on the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers Thursday, September 9th in that standalone primetime game. The Houston Texans will open up Sunday, September 12th. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, and the new-look Jags coming to H-Town. But we got the full schedules last night. Rod B., I'll send this one your way first. We'll start with the Cowboys, since we are Austin's home for the Cowboys. Any notables, noteworthy things for you outside of that Week 1 matchup against Tampa Bay, which was obviously talked about a ton by everybody yesterday?
Yeah.
And look, the countdown is on. We're 119 days away from that game. But any noteworthy nuggets that you found from scavenging the Dallas Cowboys' regular season schedule?
It's a favorable schedule for the Cowboys. I mean, usually you start looking at elite quarterbacks, like opposing quarterbacks, you have to play. We do know they have to play Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes on the list. So maybe of the elite. But other than that, man, there's a lot of uncertainty with the opposing quarterbacks they play, right? The Panthers, the Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts. Justin Herbert had a great rookie year, but that's still just one rookie year. The Giants with Daniel Jones, the Patriots with Cam Newton. You know, that's the first part of the schedule. And then you got Kirk Cousins, whatever the Denver Broncos decide to do. Matt Ryan, you know, many people believe he's hardly past his prime and in his twilight. So I just think looking at the opposing quarterbacks that are going to challenge that new look defense of the Cowboys, I think that is the biggest concern for Cowboys fans right now. The offense is going to be elite, prolific. I don't know how long it's going to take to get it clicking on all cylinders because obviously Dak Prescott was out most of last year, so the chemistry and continuity with the offense, maybe it'll take a little while, but they got so many weapons, it's almost impossible to defend all of those weapons at one time. And I think Dak's gifted enough and talented enough that he'll be able to find the right guys. The defense is my biggest concern, and I don't think the defense is going to be challenged tremendously throughout the season. There's a lot of ways I think that, you know, the Cowboys could help themselves in different parts of the schedule with some of the home game streaks they have and then some of the road game streaks. They have a really tough end to the schedule, I would say. That could be a challenge for the Cowboys. Four of their final six games are on the road. That could end up determining the division champion in the end.
Mm-hmm. I think you nailed it right there. That's kind of the first thing I looked at is the defense is going to be the issue and the question at least heading into the season. And, you know, usually you'd look at some of these teams, New Orleans especially, and New England, and think, okay, well, we know we're going to get good quarterback play there. But really all the way through, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and it really helps out your division isn't loaded at that spot. I mean, Daniel Jones is the second most proven quarterback.
Yeah. Who's going to start for Washington?
And I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts. I actually like how it sets up.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick is the second most proven quarterback.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I forgot about Fitzpatrick. Yeah,
totally
hating on Fitzpatrick.
Him.
My bad. Yeah, hating
like most of my life, I've forgotten about Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick has forgotten about Ryan Fitzpatrick a time or two over the years. But, yeah, y'all said it right there. The last five games for the Cowboys, four of them against NFC East teams, three of them on the road. And both Washington games are in the month of December. Seems like a clear sign from the league that they think the division is going to come down to those two teams, right? Eagles and Giants feel like they're rebuilding a little bit. Washington won the division last year. Still some questions at quarterback, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick is what he is at this point. So who knows how he's going to do. Obviously, the Cowboys, the favorites to win the NFC East this year with a healthy Dak Prescott. So no surprise, I don't think that's any coincidence that Dallas and Washington play twice in the month of December. And this division, regardless of how it looks on paper going into the season, guys, it always comes down to December. Anyways, so it's very fitting that the Cowboys will have to go through that. It's hard to call it a gauntlet because the NFC East sucks. But they'll have to see every NFC East team in the month of December or in the month of January. But they do have an easy schedule. Brought up this number yesterday. The Cowboys have the second easiest schedule according to last season's winning percentage. They only play three teams that had a winning record last season. Out of 17 games, only three teams on the schedule had a winning record a year ago. And none of the Cowboys' eight home games are against teams that were above 500 last year. It's amazing. So look, the NFL, Rodby, you said it yesterday, the league sells hope and change better than Obama. And there's so much parity in the National Football League. And, guys, we see it every year where a team goes from worst to first. And teams go from making the playoffs to not making the playoffs. And teams go from not making the playoffs to making the playoffs every single season. So that's not always the best indicator for how good a team is going to be. But, KD, you look on paper, you're obviously going to play some tough teams. There's 32 in the NFL, but man, it feels like the Cowboys got about as favorable as a schedule as you could possibly get.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you optimistic with still all the questions you have about this team that they could be a playoff team because of that. And they may get in some shootouts in some of these games, but I think the schedule sets up really nice for them. So the game that has the highest or the most expensive ticket would be New England, not a shock, but I see tickets as low as $439.
For Cowboys-Patriots?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, that could be sexy, just because, we don't know what's going to be at the quarterback position for
New England.
But another game like that is the Saints, right? You said that, how many teams that had a winning record last year on the schedule? Three?
Three.
One of those is the Saints?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they now, lose Breeze, right?
Yeah, now they lose Breeze.
That doesn't add up. It's not the same team.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen. Either way, I'm sure that Sean Payton, I got faith that he's going to figure out the quarterback position. But whichever one of those guys wins it, they're not going to be a Hall of Famer like Drew Breeze.
Right.
I think we're all assuming, at least early on. So, I don't know. I think that other than that that Bucks and that Kansas City game, which I think we all agree, they're in a different class than the Cowboys, clearly. There are a lot of teams that have regressed to average to below average, mm-hmm. and the Cowboys, I'm not going to say that they should be above those teams because the Patriots could end up being really good. They get a lot of guys back from the opt-outs of the COVID year in 2020. They're going to get a ton of guys back, and I think Belichick has learned some things. I think he was humbled, I don't know if he needed to be humbled, but I think being without Brady and understanding the influence of Brady, I think that hit him hard. He probably went back to work harder. So you got a Belichick trying to prove himself. I would bet on that too. So that could be a tough game. I agree with you on that, KD. And we don't know what's going to happen with the Cardinals.
No.
Right? The thing is, the Cardinals have the talent, it looks like, to be a contender. They definitely should be a playoff contender. They definitely should be a team considered to make the playoffs. But they're, in a lot of people's estimation, they're fourth in that division. Mm. That'd be the best fourth place team in any division in the NFL. So if they're going to be good this year, which they should be, but if they're being held back, it's because Cliff Kingsbury is just not the right guy. Because we all like Kyler Murray, and I think he's proven himself.
And we'll know more, obviously, about them, because that's the second to last game of the year.
Exactly. And their wide receiving core is loaded, and the defense, actually, I think it's getting a lot better, too, and they've been forcing more turnovers as of late. So, I don't know. I mean, we don't know about that one, but, yes, when you look at it, I mean, they got four maybe tough, really tough games. Mm-hmm. Other than that,
it helps when your division is as bad as it is.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the teams you see twice a year, none of them are that good. But yes, that Arizona game in the month of December.
We don't know.
The only non-NFC East game for the Cowboys in their final 5 weeks of the regular season. There's a chance for the Cowboys to make some hay early on, guys. I mean, that Tampa Bay game is very tough. Very, very tough. Going to their place, the defending champs, banner night, ring night. I gave the stat yesterday. Defending Super Bowl champions are 13-3 in that opening Thursday night game. So there usually is no Super Bowl hangover in that spot, and Tom Brady has become pretty immune to the Super Bowl hangover over the years, considering he wins the damn thing every other season. But after that, for the Cowboys, at LA, the Chargers, winnable game. And then
home game.
I think you have your easiest three-game stretch of the season right after that. Three actual home games in Arlington.
Right.
Eagles, Panthers, Giants. Like, even if the Cowboys lose that first game, there's reason to believe they could be 4-1. And you can't run and hide 5 weeks into an NFL season, but considering the NFC East is the NFC East, the Cowboys could be up a couple of games in that division after a little bit more than a month.
Yeah, they could, and that's heading into New England. So they should be 3-2 heading into that game and could be 4-1. And that's where, if they get some separation there, you're right, we saw that last year. I mean, the Redskins, they didn't go take that thing. It just kind of landed there.
It fell right to them. I think a relatively easy start for the Cowboys and a relatively easy finish. Divisional games are never easy, but in the NFC East, those are relatively easy games. But they do have a very tough stretch, guys, over Thanksgiving. Remember, they play the three games in 11 days, which just doesn't seem like it should be a thing, but it is every year. How about these four games from November 21st to December 12th? At Kansas City, home to Vegas, at New Orleans, at Washington. That's one of those, if you go 2-2 in that stretch, you're feeling really, really good about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't know what Las Vegas is going to be.
Yeah, they were 500 last year. They were 8-8. Decent team.
You don't know what they're going to be. I assume New Orleans is going to be a good team. I don't know if they're going to be a great team with either one of those quarterbacks, but Sean Payton's a hell of a coach. And in any time they've had small sample size, mind you, but any time they've had to put another quarterback out there other than Drew Brees, they've still managed to win games. They're a little uglier. It's a little tougher.
Yeah.
They don't cruise. It's not a breeze, if you will. But they usually get it done. So I think Sean Payton is still going to make that a tough out. So I'm with you, BK. You go 500 there. Yeah. I think you might be okay. That's really where the entire year will be determined, is from week 11. Honestly, you could go till I think till week 16, because you're going to see Washington twice in that stretch. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that we assume that determines the division. Like I said, we don't think Philly's going to be great. But that's the assumption. Philly could end up being decent, and then that would, you know, upset the apple cart, to go back to the saying I used.
Right on. Back your apple cart, man. I'm just saying. You're just pulling it back.
Is that a new Apple product? Like, can I get that at
It's old school, man. I'm just shout out to the old school out there. You
know, so
man.
I don't think they're going to go 15-2, but there's only two losses I see for sure losses.
Tampa and Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah. You chalk those up as losses right now. Road games right. against the two Super Bowl participants. The Cowboys near touchdown dogs in Tampa. They'll probably be near touchdown dogs in Kansas City. Yeah, I'm kind of in the 11-ish win range. I mean, you look at the schedule, and there's reason to believe they could win a couple of more than that, but this is still an average at best defense, in my opinion. I mean, they can't be as bad as they were last year. They just can't.
You think they could.
And their offense will be better if Dak Prescott stays healthy throughout the course of the entire season. So that alone will make them better than last year, but it's hard for me to go anything above 11-6 right now with the questions that still face this team.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm going to go, I want to go 12-5.
Okay.
Nah, I'm going 11-6. There's a loss in there that I'm just now. I'm going to go with KD. I'm going to go with the Patriots. They're going to beat them just because I think they'll get out coached.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't think Mike McCarthy's that good of a coach.
I almost put that down as a surefire thing. If they had a quarterback, I would.
Yeah, I'm just because I'm going to go worst case scenario here. I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints, another loss because they get out coached. Man, I'm going to say they lose one of those games to Washington and Fitzpatrick, too. That defensive line is just nasty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I could see that happening. And then I'm looking
at it. It's two out of three, too. And it's two games. It's two. You face each other two times in 3 weeks.
I could see that happening. And I'm looking at it. It's hard to find another loss. And I agree. Maybe I don't know. That's tough. Maybe the Vikings could make a comeback and be good again.
Yeah, primetime game, Sunday night
Kirk
football.
Kirk Cousins, you know,
there.
They got some weapons.
Vikings,
I mean, that was a
Vikings
playoff
could beat
team
them. Cardinals could beat
ago.
Them. Raiders could beat them. Those are the coin toss ones we just don't know sitting
exactly.
here in May.
That's why I'd go 11-6 because those coin toss was in there as a loss, too, just because it's the Cowboys.
I like that. That seems fair. What about the Houston Texans, gentlemen?
Okay.
You don't want to talk about the Texans?
No,
I know
we
are the home for the Cowboys, so I'm sure our employers appreciate that.
But
the Texans are on a competing station.
I'm just expecting some jabs.
Dude.
Every time we talk Texans, people just take shots. Astros are Texans, actually, by the way.
And it's Texans
people
fans
take
who are
take
also
shots at me.
Taking shots at
yeah,
the Texans.
Well, we take shots at ourselves now. It's the only fun thing to do.
So
gotta laugh about it.
You got to.
Keep from crying.
When the the Texans tweeted out their season opening game against Jacksonville, some of the replies to the official team account tweet, quote, I hope we go 0-16, end quote.
Oh.
You can't do that. Quote, we are about to become the first team to ever go 0-17, history, end quote. Quote, man. September 12th will mark the beginning of 10 years of suck, end quote. And then someone just wrote crickets. That was the entire tweet. That shows you
crickets.
The level of enthusiasm and excitement surrounding
it's
the Houston
bleak.
Texans.
It is. I got to tell you, I have never... ever as a Texans fan, they hadn't been around that long, right? Barely, you know, coming on close to 20 years. It hasn't been this bleak ever.
Mm.
As an organization, the fan base. Even when they were losing David Carr days.
Baselli, but people were just happy to have it.
People just happy to have a team. I've never seen it this dark because of Sean Watson, his issues. And then you have, of course, the management and the puppet regime.
Yeah,
David Culley. So there's just nothing to believe in other than tanking and getting the number one overall pick.
And getting that number one overall pick. I'm not going to take any shots on your
Texans. That's a horrible place to be as a fan base.
Yeah.
But you have to look forward to losing every week.
And then if they don't, you get pissed.
And then if they don't lose, you get mad.
Which is even worse. BK and I had that with the Niners. It's like, oh, God. Even last year, I'm thinking, well, they're not going to do anything that's, you know, with injuries situation. Go ahead and get that high of a pick. I'm not going to take any shots, but it is tough to massage this schedule and because it's just they're just not going to be good. They're not going to be good. Jacksonville's probably their best chance to win.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
Jacksonville is their best shot to win those two games.
Yeah.
Jacksonville might be their best shot to win, but guys, the Jags open up the season in Houston, and Jacksonville is favored in that game.
Are they?
Yeah. A team that went 1-15 last year and had the number one overall pick in the draft. A team that has a brand new head coach who's never coached in the NFL before. They're expected to beat the Texans in Houston.
I'm going to predict an upset there. I'm going to predict the Texans win that game.
Okay.
Tyrod Taylor.
There we go.
There you go. Boom. But now they're not going to win a lot of games.
What about Davis Mills, dude?
They're going to give it to Tyrod.
The Davis Mills era.
They're going to give it to Tyrod.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Another chance for a win for the Texans. Boy, this is depressing. Hey, which games do they have a chance to win this year? We're talking about the Cowboys winning 11 or 12.
That's it.
We're looking for one or two.
That's they won.
For the Texans.
That's they won.
New York.
Week three against Carolina.
Okay.
A Thursday night
really?
Game. A Thursday night game.
Okay. No,
traveling teams on short weeks do not bode well. And history tells you that teams on the road in those Thursday night games after playing on a Sunday are not very successful. So Texans could start 2-1, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? They might end the year on a...
May end up like 2-15.
Yeah, 3-14.
Losing streak. 2-15. Unless they beat Jacksonville again.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen with Jacksonville later on.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is their chance
Jets
to win.
And maybe
twice.
Carolina.
I don't know if they're going to beat the Jets. They could beat the Jets, I guess. The Jets aren't necessarily that good. I don't know how good their first-year head coach is going to be early on. But
yeah.
You're right.
That's you got a rookie quarterback.
Really
same
bad.
Thing with Jacksonville.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're really bad, too. Good point.
Only one primetime game for the Texans this year. It is that
Thursday night game
against Carolina in week three. In terms of strength of schedule, taking a look at last season's winning percentage, Houston right in the middle of the pack. They have the 16th toughest schedule in the NFL. A much easier start for the Texans this year. Like last year's Texans, they would have killed for this start.
Kansas
Remember how
City.
Tough Houston's schedule was last year? And we were talking about it leading up to the season. Like, boy, this does not bode well for Bill O'Brien.
Right.
Coach who's already on a warm seat, and he's got to go up against Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh in the first 3 weeks of the season. And, oh, by the way, Tennessee and Green Bay before you get to the midway point. That was a recipe for disaster. This year you've got Jacksonville at Cleveland week two. Not easy. I think Carolina at home. Like, it's a much easier start.
Yeah,
Bill O'Brien would have killed for this start
picks
last
up,
year.
Though. Then you add Buffalo.
Oh, it does.
Then you got New England. All right, so you the Casario Easterby reunion with Belichick. Oh, Belichick's going to be motivated for that one, I guarantee you. And then you're at Indy, and we all know Indy's legit. You know, still Carson Wentz. I wonder about that. We still don't know this Carson Wentz experiment is going to work, but I will say we know that Frank Reich is such a damn good coach. He's had multiple different quarterbacks and been able to make the playoffs with all of them.
Yep.
So the guy's damn good, and I assume he's going to be good with Wentz too. So and then at Arizona. So it picks up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rams.
Mm.
It picks up quickly, man. At Miami, they play four of the top 10 scoring defenses from last year. Yeah. Yeah,
that'll be a long year down there.
It's going to be a long year down there. Mm. Agreed.
We'll take your thoughts. 337-3776. The NFL schedule was released last night. By the way, if you want to look at the schedules for the Cowboys and Texans, you can do so at our website, hornfm.com. We've got them both posted right there on the home page. It's the triple option with RBKD. We'll continue the NFL conversation a little bit later. But coming up next, we speak with Daniel Pereira, midfielder for Austin FC. He was the number one overall pick in this year's MLS draft. We'll ask him about the first month for Austin FC and preview this Saturday's tilt against LA Galaxy. Next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Motown-esque, Motown-ish Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. Momentarily, we are going to be joined by a member of the Austin FC. Actually, the number one overall pick for the Austin FC, Daniel Pereira, is going to join us here momentarily. He's an Austin FC midfielder, and really interesting looking at his background, but we'll talk to him about all things Austin FC and his journey from Venezuela, I believe, all the way through Virginia Tech, and now with the Austin FC. So we'll talk to him about that, too.
That had to be culture shock.
Yeah. But it was, and I want to say, what, he's 20? Maybe. He might be a little, I don't know. I don't even know if he's old enough to legally drink, but in the States.
Mm.
In the States, yeah. Sure the man has had himself a good time. He's number one overall pick.
He's 20.
Yeah, so I don't even, I'm not going to ask him about that.
No, let's not get into that. Hey, what places let you drink?
I don't want him to admit that he's breaking the law on this thing. Yeah, that, I'm sure the Austin FC would love that. No. Well,
and we didn't do that.
No, we're not getting into that. We'll ask the man about his many accomplishments already as a 20-year-old, like I said. Okay, later on we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL schedule release. We'll talk about the Cowboys and the Texans, the implications of both those schedules. And there's some Longhorn basketball news to get into. Greg Brown has decided that he is going to forego any the rest of his eligibility, I should say, and pursue his professional basketball career in the NBA. And I think
good luck.
I think it's a good move. We'll get into it. We've talked about it. Everybody's got different opinions about it. There are some people that believed he might come back just because of the coaching change, that he might want to be a part of what Chris Beard is building here at Texas. So we'll get into that too. Oh, Texas football news too. We'll get into a little bit later on. A lot of people excited about this. You know a lot about this because you were talking about this potential, I don't know, how was it? It's not even a decommitment. He had to ask out of his
letter because he had signed
there.
He
had signed it already, so he was there.
He was there.
And then he
and
just
Harbaugh
wanted out.
Gets weird, so I didn't know. I was
Did
excited
we find out
to see that.
Details about why he decided that he wanted out? What was it?
He didn't like milk. Doesn't drink
I don't like milk.
He doesn't like a steak with milk either.
I guess
you don't like milk.
I don't like milk at all. I know some people who with a
you
nice.
You don't like
steak.
Anything white.
I don't like any white
food,
condiments.
Food.
White liquid. Exactly. Come on.
Food. No, you like white.
I love white chicken. White people.
There we go.
Yeah, all that stuff.
What a transition.
Yeah.
Sorry. See, and we got now.
Welcome to the show, Daniel.
We go now to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to welcome our next guest. He is Austin FC midfielder Daniel Pereira. What's going on, Daniel? Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you guys for having me, and just a pleasure to be here.
No doubt.
Thanks,
appreciate
Daniel.
You joining us, man. Before we look ahead to this weekend's match against LA Galaxy, I wanted to get your thoughts about your club's first four matches, a 2-2 start. Obviously, a disappointing loss last weekend in Kansas City. But overall, your impressions of your club 1 month into the season?
It's great. You know, no one thought that we would be this good so quick and so early in the season. Like, we got big dubs on the road. Going in the road, it's not easy for any team. So we're just trying to make the best out of all these road games that we have. Before we come to Q2, so
I think we're all excited for you guys to get back. You've looked good so far. What was that transition like going from Venezuela to Blacksburg to go play for Virginia Tech, and what'd you learn there?
Well, the transition was a lot. To me personally, I was playing in a good academy back home in Venezuela, and moving to high school, which is not very taken very serious, it kind of hit me. But I just told myself to just give my best wherever I go, and that's what I did. And thankfully, that's that brought me here to MLS. And BT and my high school, or like my career in the U.S. so far, has taught me that you just gotta work for what you want and just keep grinding. There's always people watching, and it's just a matter of time if it's going to happen or not. So you just got to put the work in and be committed.
Hey, Daniel, you were obviously the number one overall pick. So you had already been very accomplished in your young soccer career. What do you think is the biggest thing you need to work on as a professional athlete now, and to accomplish your goals and to ultimately reach your ceiling?
Just try to get better at everything, you know, defending, attacking, get stronger, quicker. This is not my peak, and I know it's not my peak. It's just the beginning of something awesome, I believe, and I just know I'm not over, and I just hope to get better in every little thing. And that's what I've been doing. I've been working with great teammates. The coaches are awesome, and I know I have the tools to get even better. So it's just awesome. An awesome spot that I'm at.
Speaking with Austin FC midfielder Daniel Pereira here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Daniel, I want to ask you about your coach, Josh Wolf, who has a lot of playing experience, a very accomplished player, played a little bit for the U.S. men's national team, but this is his first time as a head coach at any level. Your thoughts on what you've seen from him, and what do you like about Josh Wolf as your head coach?
He's the best coach I've ever had. He knows what he wants. He applies it in every practice. We have a style of play, and I think we've showed it in the past four games. He just knows so much about soccer that, like, let's say when you watch film, you don't see things in the games, but then you watch film and you're like, dang, we could have done this, like Josh said. And it's just he's just a great coach and a great person as well. He cares about you, not just about soccer, about personal stuff, and he's just a great coach.
Daniel, usually every team's got a guy who kind of keep things loose and tell some jokes and just make sure that the chemistry is there. Who's that guy on this team?
There's a couple. I'll say Brad Stuber is one of those guys that just always a good buy when you talk to him, you know. Very, very straightforward guy. I like Kakuta Amane. He's a goof and has that good vibes too, and she's always smiling and happy and making jokes. I'll say those top two for sure. Okay.
Nice. Hey Daniel, who were your favorite soccer players growing up? Who were you would consider your inspirations as a young soccer player?
I'll say my idol is Iniesta. That Iniesta, he's just top class player, midfielder, does everything. And the guy that I always liked watching, at least the memory I have of him, is Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
He was just so good, and he would just do crazy things, and I love watching him.
Austin FC midfielder Daniel Pereira joining us here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Life in Austin. What do you think of Austin as a city, Daniel? You've been all over the world throughout your 20 years on this earth, but you've been in Austin for a couple of months now. What do you think of the city, and what do you think of this fan base and how much they've grown to love Austin FC in such a short amount of time?
The city is awesome. There's so many things to do. It's also beautiful. Like, downtown is awesome. Like, all the lakes it has. I haven't really gone out. But hopefully when the whole COVID thing slows down more, we'll be able to explore more. And the fan base is just crazy. Like, I think I've never been in a big team like this. And you can just feel the love every day, like on social media or, like, I don't know, how you go out and people recognize you and they ask for pictures. And it's just crazy how much people has loves this team already. And it's just the beginning. So we try to show them love as much as we can. So I hope they're happy about that.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, I think people are happy. Look, you have a new team. You guys just got together. And so far, it's been a fun product to watch. You've been more than competitive. You've been pretty good. What's the ceiling for this team, though? How good can this team be? And what do you all need to do to get there?
We could be a top five team, you know. I believe we could be. It's all about putting the work in every day, getting used to the system that we want to play. We have the players, you know. We have depth too, which is important for teams. We have, like, a lot of players can come in and play and do the same or do even better. So that's a good part of our team. We want to make it to the playoffs, and then after the playoffs, just try to win the cup. You know, that's what every team wants, and it'll be good if we get to do that. So.
Hey, Daniel, the really weird part of you guys' schedule is starting out on the road, seven straight games. That's got to be really, really tough. What's the toughest part of that, and how much are you looking forward to playing your first home game in that brand-new stadium?
Going on the road is not easy for any team. Just the tiredness of the flying or traveling, the home team feeds from the fans, like SKC, like Kansas City, it was insane. Like, they didn't give up because of the fans. You know, they were always pumped. They were always talking, yelling. It's a tough place, to play. And that's all I got for the roads. for the road games.
Last thing, Danny, before we let you go, give us a prediction for Saturday's match at LA Galaxy. We know you're picking Austin FC to win, but what are we thinking here? 3-0, 4-0, 10-0? What's the score going to be on Saturday afternoon, man?
We'll give it a 2-1.
2-1. All right, that's humble.
Nice.
I like that.
I like that.
I like that. Hey, Daniel, thanks so much for the time, man. Really enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the way, and hopefully we get the chance to talk soon, man.
For sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Daniel.
There he goes. Daniel Pereira, midfielder for Austin FC. He's a rookie. Doesn't sound like a rookie, though.
No.
Very cool, calm, and collected. Very composed during that interview.
He doesn't sound like he's 20, and I'm always impressed. I can only imagine what my Spanish sounds like in other countries. And I mean, I don't know how long he's been speaking English, but fluently, and you would know he's from, you know, you would think he's from America.
Yeah, 20 years old.
Yeah, I didn't sound like
number
that
one overall
when
pick.
I was 20.
No.
One overall.
No. Yeah.
I don't sound like that, and I'm 27 now.
Right.
That guy's very mature, wise beyond his years. But we appreciate Danny Pereira for the time. Impressive start to his rookie campaign. Austin FC getting back at it this Saturday on the road, of course, taking on LA Galaxy 2:30. And, Rod, I think having a little watch party this weekend for Austin
FC, right? Yeah, we're going to be at Moon Tower hanging out. Me, E. Hogan.
Cool.
Just a little Austin FC
a little
watch
Bud Light party.
It starts around 2:30 to 4:30. Yeah, I'll be drinking plenty of Bud Lights. It's going to be a good time.
Sweet. Get down there. Moon Tower, down south to catch Austin FC take on LA Galaxy.
Yep.
It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, Texas basketball is losing a player. We weren't sure what this guy was going to do, but an announcement came down earlier today. Greg Brown III is off to the NBA draft. What does it mean for him, and what does it mean for Chris Beard and the Longhorns? We discuss next.
It's a Motown S Thursday here on the Triple Option. This is The Horn. We're live. We're local. We are digital. Get the Horn app and get to hornfm.com. You can check out all the shows. Got a nice little lineup here. I like this lineup. It's a deep lineup. Not many holes. I'm not sure how I'd pitch this lineup.
Well balanced.
I'd probably try and tie up and get inside on the morning guys, but they got quick hands.
Bucky's got quick hands?
Well, I'm thinking more Aaron here.
Okay.
But that's part of the lineup there. I don't know. Midday guys, probably a lot of slitties.
You can pitch to them.
You would know. You would know. Anyway, get to hornfm.com. I know they're going to be talking about this story tomorrow morning because this is kind of one of those things we've been waiting for. We've been waiting on two guys for Texas. We know Matt Coleman was gone, and we know Courtney Ramey was coming back to go with the other guys, but it was Jericho Sims and also Greg Brown. And early on in this process, at least we were hearing things that Greg Brown may be coming back. And a year ago, you thought there's no way he's going to be a one-and-done kid, not have the type of freshman year that he wanted or that many expected. You talk about how he was used to. So a lot of excitement with the program coming in, and now Greg Brown has made the decision. BK, Greg Brown is going to turn pro. He has hired an agent, so it is official. Good move?
Yes. I mean, you could argue on both sides,
yep.
Right? Does he need more development? Yes, absolutely, but he's going to get developed wherever he plays basketball, and he's got a chance to make a lot of money while getting developed at the next level.
And he'll be in the developmental
ding,
league
ding,
next
ding,
year.
Yeah, he'll be a G League guy
right.
next year. I mean, he's got to work his way up. Look, going into this season, we thought he'd be a lottery pick. There were some mock drafts that had him going in the top 10. Now you look at mock drafts, he's a late first, early second round type of pick. But those guys still get a contract. Those guys still get a signing bonus. So those guys still get paid. But it will be tougher for Greg Brown to make a team right away. It's obvious if you watched him play last year, he's not ready for the NBA level. I mean, at times he didn't
I would
look,
hope not, and I say that for the NBA.
Yeah, at times he didn't look ready for the major conference collegiate
right.
level last year. So, happy for him. Great kid. Handled himself very well. And hopefully it works out for him. But a hole for Chris Beard to replace. But yeah, I don't think this is that big of a surprise. Like you said, KD, we were hearing some things behind the scenes maybe a month or two ago that Greg Brown was leaning to coming back, but the more people I've talked to,
that and, changed.
The more people he talked to,
yeah,
I'm sure he probably realized that it's time for me to go and cash in on this lottery ticket that I've got.
Yep. So Rod, he's gonna take off. I know you thought that was a good decision. I completely understand where you're coming from. It is gonna suck though, because just for him. I mean, I know he played here, but there won't be great memories of him here for him or from the fans.
Yeah, and that's obviously, he wanted it to, you know, be a different story and a different narrative. He came here because he did have some loyalty
right.
to the brand because of his father, who I played with, Greg Brown Sr., and, you know, he wanted to be known as a great lifetime Longhorn. And he can go to the NBA and still accomplish being a great NBA player, but you're right, people at Texas won't necessarily have really, you know, happy, fond memories of him here in terms of his impact on
not
the Texas
basketball
team.
Not mad at him, but no. That's just the reality of it, you know?
Yeah. So I think for him, I think it's a good decision for him going to the NBA. I know a lot of people thought, you know, he's too raw to go to the NBA, and that's valid. I'm not saying he's not a really raw product, but we don't necessarily know what type of player he's going to turn out to be. He could regress here at Texas and get worse.
Yep.
All right. Nobody thought he would.
Yeah, he may not be that good, and that wouldn't be on the table.
Yeah, right. And nobody thought here at Texas that a five-star player like Greg Brown, who was a one and done, would turn out to be, you know, such an underwhelming player here at Texas. And what if that trend continues next year and then he's not even draftable? He's just got to stay in college, when at one point he was considered to be first-round pick, a sure first-round, maybe in a lottery pick.
Right.
So, no, man, go. Go right now. Go get paid right now for your potential before nobody wants to pay you for potential, and you got to go make it the hard way.
That's the real word right there, the P word, potential.
You get paid for potential.
Yeah.
Go get paid while you got what everybody still thinks you got potential. As soon as you prove you ain't got it, nobody's going to pay you for it. You got to go make it up the hard way. Go through Europe and then go through the D-League. Now you'll get paid for it. You still go through the D-League, but at least you'll be getting paid big money while you go to the D-League, because they'll be paying you on potential.
And that P word is exactly why I think there's a flaw in the system. I know there's a bug in the system. That's not his fault. He's got to take advantage of that. But if you're looking at it from an NBA perspective, it's just too much on potential for me.
Right. I mean, it happens in sports all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Easy argument.
And it's wrong. I mean, there needs to be a correction there.
The easy argument to make is, well, if he comes back another year, he's going to improve his draft stock, so why not come back another year? But you said it right there, Rod. I mean, if he has another year of college film that shows that he's not that good, or if he gets hurt, then he loses that lottery ticket.
Yep,
everybody always goes glass half full, and that's why I'm here. I'm the glass half empty guy. I'm the pessimist, but I'm a realist. It happens all the time in sports, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, where a guy will decide to come back to school for another year thinking he can improve his draft stock. Something goes wrong, he gets hurt, he regresses, then all of a sudden, well, he's not drafted as high as he would have gone the year before.
Yeah.
So it's a strike while the iron's hot. The iron's not as hot.
It's not as hot
as we thought it was going
to
be. And look, this year wasn't a complete failure for Greg Brown. I mean, I think part of the reason why it was so frustrating the way he ended the season was the way he started the season. Double-digit points in four of his first five games. He had that fantastic game against Oklahoma State at the start of conference play where he put up 24 points. Like, there were signs in the first half of the season where it's like, okay, that guy's a one and done. Enjoy him while you can. He's going to be great here for a year, and that's it. But then, yeah, he just struggled so much down the stretch. The emotional meltdown in the Big 12 tournament game against Texas Tech, just kind of a non-factor in the postseason for Texas, ended up averaging less than 10 points per game this season. Just, you felt like he had a chance to be the X factor, maybe the most important player on this team. And obviously, this team still had a pretty good year. But by the end of the season, guys, he was just an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. So it would have been a risk.
Liability on the floor.
And it kind of was. It kind of was at the end of the year because his defense wasn't quite there and he wasn't making his shots.
Right.
There's no special teams in basketball.
No, and he emotionally was just, all over the place.
Yep.
He was just in disarray emotionally.
18.
Yeah, I know. But I think Shaka was able to provide, a little bit more leadership in that relationship, maybe it wouldn't have gone so bad. But that's nothing taking away his responsibility in that. He had meltdowns.
Yeah.
Period. He just had, which are, those types of meltdowns and the magnitude of them on that big a stage shouldn't happen.
Is this going to be a modern era NBA draft that's not that deep in terms of once you get down to like the latter part of the first round where he's going to go there, or could he be a second round pick?
He could be a second round pick. I mean, most mock drafts I'm looking at have him going late first or early second.
I'm looking at 129 right
now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be drafted somewhere, but it's a pretty deep draft this year.
Is it?
It really is.
Relatively?
Now, look, in the one and done era of basketball, when you get down late first and into the second round, then there are a lot of projects. There are a lot of question marks. You're taking flyers on guys that are coming in from overseas or guys that just don't have a lot of quality film. So Greg Brown's kind of in that category. But, yeah, he'll get drafted. Now we have to wait and see what happens with Jericho Sims. He's the last guy we're waiting for. Courtney Ramey's back. Matt Coleman's gone. Greg Brown's gone. Still waiting on Jericho, I'd say, at this point.
It ain't happening.
Less than likely he comes back to Texas.
It ain't happening.
No official decision yet from him.
It feels like the longer that goes on, the better chance he's not coming.
He's not coming.
And I think the deadline for underclassmen is July 19th, but he's not an underclassman, so I don't think he has that much time to make an announcement on whether or not he's going to go pro. Of course, he was a senior last year, but because of the COVID eligibility, he could come back for another season. But I'd say less than likely. I wouldn't say strongly unlikely or highly unlikely at this point, but I would say unlikely.
He was the one above everyone that I wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't really hurt as a Texas basketball fan for me that Greg Brown's not going to be there. That could have been kind of weird if you have to play him and you have to give him minutes, and he maybe doesn't deserve those minutes. Jericho Sims was someone I really wanted back.
Something about Chris Beard and his philosophy strikes me. He's not going
to
give away minutes to anybody.
I'm with you.
Because they feel like they deserve them. You got to earn everything with that guy.
I think you're right. It's one of the things I like about him.
And you know what? That may not mesh necessarily with Greg Brown.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it would. Maybe it wouldn't. Who knows?
So 9 scholarships filled for Chris Beard in Texas basketball right now. They still have a couple of slots. I think they're going to slow play things. I think there's a reason why you're not hearing a lot on the transfer portal route from this coaching staff right now. Guys are still entering the portal all the time.
Good players.
Like, you would think guys have made up their mind already enough. They're going to be in the portal. They're already there. Now, there are still good players from around the country entering. So I think Chris Beard and the staff are going to take their time and make sure they can find a couple of guys who can really fit what they're trying to do here. This roster is still going to be very good. But Greg Brown is off to the NBA, posted an announcement on Instagram earlier today. He's going to hire an agent, too. So that means no chance GB3 will be back at UT. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, I guarantee you we're going to come back. We'll talk Texas football. Some great news on the recruiting front for the Longhorns. Wide receiver help coming to Austin. We'll talk about it next.